Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 555, an interview with Daniel Hopsicker, My Way is the Skyway. This is being recorded on May 28th of the year 2006, and once again, it is my pleasure and privilege to bring back to our airwaves Daniel Hopsicker, the author of, among other titles, Barry and the Boys, and Welcome to Terrorland, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, Bushfellas, and numerous articles on the www.madcowprod.com website. Daniel, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Dave.
As I was going over some of the articles that were the fodder for last week's feast, I guess you could say, bad metaphor, but what the heck, I looked ahead to what is coming out, in particular some of the ruminations about strange bedfellows in this milieu we've been looking at that involves intelligence community drug smuggling, September 11th hijackers and all sorts of things, and where we're going to be taking a look, among others, you know, the involvement of the head of the outlawed Koch party, one of the elements of the fascist milieu within the Zionist movement, and also the head of the Kuwaiti National Guard, which should give people in the audience, I think, a real good clue. They got to think outside of the box in this terms, but I thought that it would be worth recapping some of the things we've been going on, because it's dizzying. Some of the things that we've been talking about, I should say, because it's dizzying. And if I have a tough time keeping some of it straight, because it's not meant, you know, when I find myself getting a little bit cross-eyed following some of this stuff and become impatient right with my own intellectual abilities, this stuff is not meant to be transparent. It's meant to be opaque. It's meant to confuse.
We got a bunch of people with connections to each other and connections to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And let me lay it out. We got a guy named Mikram Chams, a Lebanese character, who was facilitating and helping the hijackers.
Mm-hmm.
Disappears after 9/11, turns up again working for the Titan Corporation, the U.S. defense contractor in Saudi Arabia, but not just any U.S. defense contractor, a dirty defense contractor, reputedly part of some private intelligence network, involved in three major scandals that we know of as we sit here. Okay? Then we have, Mikram, and it turns out, Mikram Chams was working for the Titan Corporation while Otto was still here.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, but I thought it was Makram Chams, right?
Makram Chams.
Yep. We should note that by way of a point of departure again, Makram Chams, to the world at large, was simply the owner of a convenience store in Venice, Florida, Quick Check convenience store. But now it turns out that convenience store was a major hangout for some of the 9/11 hijackers. It was the place where a whole bunch of money, the largest single wire transfer to the hijackers, went through. It was a place that was that was frequented, or at least touched on as a base, by an unnamed Saudi prince. The cab driver Bob Simpson was carrying a chest load of what may have been gold with this Saudi prince and a man he identified as Zaharias Moussaoui. Turns out Makram Chams is not only working for Titan Corporation, he also is co-owner of a casino boat in Florida, co-owned by a guy named Ian Goldfarb in Philadelphia.
Now, first of all, let me say, we could stop right there.
Yep.
Okay? I mean, I want to know what a Lebanese national working for a U.S. defense contractor was doing facilitating Mohammed Atta and the terrorists in Venice, period.
Mm-hmm.
We could stop right there.
Or how many...
We don't have to.
Ask yourself how many convenience store owners work for American defense contractors and are co-owners in a casino boat.
The Mohammed Atta. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is... Again, people have to think outside of the box. And by the way, Daniel, for the benefit of listeners, we're going to recap some of the dizzying connections. And if I forget, I don't think I will, but the title of the broadcast, the subtitle is My Way or the Skyway. That's a reference
to... Cute. All right, so let's move forward. Makram Chams, additionally, was a partner in a gambling boat in 97 and 98 that sat here for 2 years. Okay, so he's obviously not... He's not an Arab operative that slipped underneath anybody's radar. His sister said he went to work in San Diego for the FBI after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me that. Now, He is a partner in this gambling boat. There are only two local partners. Makram Chams is one, and the other is Max Burge. Max Burge is a riverboat captain, a pilot, and Max Burge is the man who leased all of the planes that Rudy Deckers used to train the terrorists at Huffman Aviation.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Max Burge the owner of the co-owner? Because I thought the co-owner of the casino boat. This is one of the reasons why I thought it might be good to go back.
He was the partner in it.
Okay,
so
now then.
The main partner was a guy named Ian Goldfarb from Philadelphia.
Okay, so but they were both partners in the casino boat. Both
they
Max
were two
Burge.
Local partners.
Okay.
Two local Venice partners. Makram Chams,
yep,
and Max Burge.
Right.
Max Burge's other distinction is that he owned and leased the planes that Rudy Deckers used to train the terrorists.
Okay. All righty.
That's mm-hmm. not where it stops.
No, it sure doesn't, does it?
Then we move to Frederick Geffen of Royal Sons LLC, or Royal Sons Inc., who is partnered with Skyways, who own two DC-9s, one of which they still have, which has been a CIA plane for 20 years.
Okay, let me emphasize a point here and try to tie it down, because again,
because you're going to get involved in minutiae, and I don't want you to now.
Okay.
Okay. Frederick Geffen at Royal Sons, who owned the plane that got busted with 5.5 tons of coke, used an address at Huffman Aviation in Venice.
Okay, that's what I wanted to stress.
Was in business with Max Burge.
Okay, Max Burge is one of the owners of the casino boat with Makram Chams. He also leases the planes that Rudy Deckers and Wally Hilliard are using to train terrorists as well as bring in drugs. And another of the people at Huffman Aviation is this guy, Frederick Geffen. Just, by the way, that's spelled G-E-F-F-O-N of Royal Sons, and not like the music, the well-known music producer, David Geffen, but it's G-E-F-F-O-N. Daniel, question. Slight non-sequitur. Royal Sons, have you ever seen any reference to where the title comes from? Is that like Royal Family?
Because he gave me an explanation which may or may not make sense.
Uh-huh.
His dad owned Regal Carpets, so he and his brother are Royal Sons, but I don't think his brother's a partner, so I don't know how that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But it might. I mean, it's at least plausible.
I'm wondering if it's a reference to the Saudi princes. Go ahead.
So now we've got two companies owning the DC-9s. I mean, obviously, these two companies up there are related to the operation that went on in Venice, because we have all of these intricate connections, perhaps not directly related, but part of the same network.
Mm-hmm.
We have these two companies that own the two DC-9s, one of which gets busted with 5.5 tons of coke. Skyways was started by a man named Michael Farkas back in 2000. It went through three or four things and became Skyways. It was a bunch of junk, reverse merged, and it became Skyways. All right, you with me?
Yes, I am. And Skyways, by the way,
I've already told you
that
the second DC-9, the one that's still here, that today is owned by Royal Sons,
mm-hmm.
is a CIA plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed on my website how it has had agency-connected owners for 20 years.
Right.
The most recent of which was Genesis Aviation, owned by a lieutenant of Adnan Khashoggi's named Rami Albatrami.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis, Khashoggi has 20 different companies, all of which are called Genesis. It's a code word. There's Genesis Intermedia, for which he and Rami Albatrami are currently being charged with stock fraud, Genesis Realty, Genesis Aviation, Genesis this, Genesis that, Genesis other thing, okay? One of his companies is Genesis Realty, which is also headed by Rami Albatrami. And guess who's a partner in Genesis Realty?
Who's that?
Michael Farkas.
Okay, Jen, and who is Michael Farkas? This is a name
Michael
not known
Farkas
to most.
Is a Miami, we don't know who he is. He's a Miami attorney who founded Skyways. And yet he's also a partner in a company, Genesis Realty, that owned the DC-9 that Royal Sons owns. So you see the names are interchangeable. I mean, you could be Skyways aircraft today and Blue Skies aircraft tomorrow and Yellow Dog, you know, trading and trucking 3 days from now. It doesn't matter. In fact, that's how it works. But the players are the same.
Right. Now Skyway, again, Skyway is owned by Michael Farkas. That is one of the shell companies or one of the fronts through which the DC-9 that got piloted. Actually, wasn't it the sister plane of the DC-9?
No. Both of the planes were jointly owned by Royal Suns and Skyways aircraft.
Okay. Now,
both of them were painted like U.S. government Department of Homeland Security planes.
Uh-huh.
The FAA has refused to release to this date the registration records on the DC-9 busted in Mexico, but they did release to me the registration records on its sister ship, and its sister ship has been owned by CIA contractors for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
By companies I recognized from Barry and the Boys. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yep, and making a point again very briefly, one of the features of your work with both Barry and the Boys and Welcome to Terrorland and many of your articles on madcowprod.com is that one finds some of these same elements twisting through over a period of decades. So you call it the permanent scandal, I call it the milieu, but it's the same thing, and it stinks. And the smell is very much in all of our nostrils, although some of us don't recognize the origins.
Michael Farkas,
yep.
who founded Skyways, what became Skyways Aircraft, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I discovered because someone sent me material on him, is the American president of a banned ultranationalist party in Israel, the Koch Party, founded by Meir Kahane, the most racist party in Israel. They're banned.
Mm-hmm.
He's the American president. Now, that would, you know, that would let our friends, our Nazi friends go, oh, 9/11, the Jews did it.
Mm-hmm.
Except Michael Farkas starts this party. Or rather, excuse me, starts the company.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't start the party.
But the chief investors in the company are 14 Kuwaiti, 24 Saudi and Kuwaiti investors, one of whom is the head of the National Guard in Kuwait.
Mm-hmm. Let's hold that for a second. I want to fill listeners in briefly, particularly younger listeners who may not be familiar with Meir Kahane. They may have heard the name, but they're not familiar with the background. Meir Kahane was originally an American rabbi. He then eventually moved to Israel, became head of an ultra-right-wing party called the Koch Party. And by the way, Kahane's own personal background stems from the Beitar, which was actually a fascist element within the Zionist movement, headed up by a guy named Vladimir Yabotinsky. Its best-known graduate was perhaps Menachem Begin, although Yabotinsky's personal secretary was Benzion Netanyahu, who's the father of Benjamin Netanyahu, of the Likud party, currently trying to challenge for the head of the Israeli government. Meir Kahane eventually was, the Koch party was banned, and he returned to the United States, where he was assassinated in 1991 by people connected with the mosque in New York City, headed up by Sheikh Rahman, connected to not only the first World Trade Center attack, but that same milieu was involved with September 11th as well. So we're looking at some really, really strange bedfellows. Commonality here being extreme political reaction, I would say fascism, and dirty money, criminal money, but uniting people of ostensibly at least diametrically opposed ethnic and ideological positions.
Well, you got me. I mean, I certainly do not pretend to understand the big picture. I just see things,
mm-hmm.
learn things, and wonder how can this be.
Right.
For example, I just learned something the other day, and I'm asking myself today how it can be. And this is just Venice-related. I got a call from somebody who said, you have to talk to somebody else. He's got some information. And I met with this person and discovered that his mother lived in a condo, which is like not three blocks from where I am here in Venice, and there was a Arab fellow living in the condo next to her named, of all things, Jerry, who left 4 days before September 11th saying, I've run out of money, I got to go home. I mean, he lived there for a couple of years. Then all of a sudden, 4 days before, I've run out of money, I got to go home. He's gone. He left behind a rug filled with human hair. Well, if you remember, all the terrorists shaved all their hair, all their body hair before the attack. So this man's mother calls him, and he calls the police, the FBI, and the FBI sends over a Venice patrol, and they didn't even take the rug.
I mean, that doesn't sound like the most thorough investigative technique to me.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it is
ridiculous.
Well, there are a lot of interesting things you've on. One of the things I want to recall for the benefit of listeners, I don't want to get untracked here, but recalling that one of the things that you uncovered down there was the fact that Mohammed Atta's father, who appears to be Muslim Brotherhood, was actually supervising this Venice contingent of these people, and that ultimately when a videotape from a pharmacy confirmed that, it was taken out and excised, the portion showing Mohammed Atta's father directing these people.
Yeah, and yet the father was on TV after 9/11. Oh, it wasn't my son. And then later, a couple years later, or like last year, was going, well, they got what they would deserve. Basically cheering on the 9/11 attack. And the guy is free. The guy was here 10 days before 9/11 with his son directing his son in Marwan. I mean, clearly in control. And how can he be free?
Well, he is in Egypt, you know.
Egypt.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things, Daniel Lee, in terms of grasp, trying to wrap our cognitive understanding around this thing, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But the more time passes, and the work that I've done aside from our many, many visits together, will perhaps shed some light on this. I just did a 4-part series in which I took a look at a set of associations. I look for a different word other than milieu, which features, of all people, the Dalai Lama hooking up with SS officers. And indeed, Tibetan Buddhism is a strain of Buddhism that lends itself to a fascist construct if one wants to do it. And yet he's in bed with Al-Qaeda / Muslim Brotherhood people of Uyghur origin in Xinjiang province in China, who are working for basically trying to break off part of what is China, along with pan-Turkists who seek to establish Greater Turkestan, sort of a revanchist movement seeking to revive the old Ottoman Empire. And they, in turn, are working in conjunction with Karl von Habsburg, the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and the Thyssen-Bornemisza family, which goes back to the Bush family Nazi connections, and they're promoting the interests of native peoples, including the Lakota here in the United States, who are being targeted for some sort of an operation, whether it's a Jack Abramoff, let's use him as a money-making machine, or whether they're to be Fall Guys in some sort of bloody provocation, because the Lakota have moved towards independence. And the Lakota, by the way, have been thoroughly screwed. But you're looking at something which, in terms of the normal conceptualization, doesn't compute at all. But if one looks at it as, at one level, a criminal milieu, where all these people are basically making a whole lot of money, but also something in which different groups of different backgrounds are working for basically what is an overall fascist agenda, it begins to make a certain amount of sense. But in connection with the microcosm that you're looking at down there, which is connected to this whole larger thing, basically what it is a criminal network. It is thoroughly criminal, and yet is extremely well connected. It unites the overworld and the underworld. And little things, because I've been looking at these associations on my program for decades, and little things like the Second World War, September 11, things which obviously are huge, things which consume the passions and the lives and the wealth of much of the human race, are seen by the people, these players, as relative inconveniences. And above all, we must not interrupt the flow of business, whether it's the Second World War, in which the major industrialists and financiers on both sides were in bed together all along, or whether it's a somewhat more concentrated microcosm like what you're looking at, in which, you know, little inconveniences like September 11th and everything that's come out of it are not seen as being overall that important. But we must keep the business going, whether it's corporate connections and defense contracts, or whether it's millions of, or billions in drug deals. But that's kind of what we're looking at here, okay, to sort of tie this in.
And that's the big picture, and that's all fine and good. But here's the point. Rami Albatrami's name is on a plane that's the sister to a plane that's busted with 5.5 tons of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Rami Albatrami works for Adnan Khashoggi. Rami Albatrami with Adnan Khashoggi own a company called Genesis Intermedia, for which they were just charged with stock fraud last month. $120 million disappeared. Genesis Intermedia owned John Gray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, owned John Gray. Didn't just own his book, owned him.
Mm-hmm.
Owned his appearances. He had sold himself to them.
John Gray, by the way, was somebody who's cropped up in the New Age milieu as the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. He also has been one of the financiers of the so-called 911 Truth Movement.
And that's the point. He's the financier of the 9/11 cult movement, which if you have a wacky idea that leads nowhere, they'll give you all kinds of publicity.
Yep, and it is so big on the West Coast, Daniel. It would be difficult to exaggerate or to make someone who lives in a place where people are sane. I mean, out here in California, both in the Bay Area and L.A., that stuff, you know, the controlled demolition, the cruise missile hit the Pentagon, and then the fascist construct, and it falls to choose. Yeah, that stuff is so big out here. I'll tell you, it taxes my patience, man. It really trying to be polite to these people when they're spewing this nonsense in my face. It really it requires a lot of forbearance. But John Gray, who's one of the linchpins of this disinformation movement, is a business partner with Adnan Khashoggi, and Adnan Khashoggi helped to finance Al Qaeda.
Yeah, And Carol Brouillet walks around at a San Francisco 9/11 conference, which is the one and only one I ever went to, with her arm around John Gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she's one town over from where we're recording this now. She's over in...
And the whole point of that conference was to pump up Mike Rupert, who was the main speaker, like the two nights in one day that I was there. And Mike Rupert is... the biggest charlatan I've ever come across. Mike Rupert took all of the attention associated with questioning about 9/11 in the couple of years after the attack and delivered nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should say...
600-page doorstop.
Very quickly, vis-a-vis... I wouldn't necessarily say he's the biggest charlatan around, and this I've avoided criticizing Rupert in the past because I've done programs with him.
Continue to let me. I mean, Mike Rupert is a. If Mike Rupert had just written a stupid book, it wouldn't matter. But Mike Rupert subverted real questioning about the 9/11 attack.
I would not. Let's just say that was the effect.
The point of that was to make the government story look good, because you have on the one end people talking about, well, it really didn't happen, it was a hologram. There weren't any hijackers on the planes. Apparently people's throats were getting cut by remote control. And you compare that ridiculous crap with the government story, and the government story looks good.
The 911 BS movement has absolutely worked as a very effective element of cover-up. Let me just jump in with my own view, because I've avoided criticizing Rupert in the past. However, he did some very good work on the intelligence community and the narcotics traffic. I dissociated myself from him professionally after that, when he began moving away from his province, and because there's just a lot of BS in his work. I avoided criticizing his 9/11 research until I had read Crossing the Rubicon, which, if it's not the worst book I've ever read, is tied for worst. I don't go around trying to read bad books, but it basically, I'll make a very, very long story, very, very short, vis-a-vis Crossing the Rubicon, okay? It's a 600-plus page book about September 11th, which does, there's not one word in there about the Muslim Brotherhood, not one word about Grover Norquist and the GOP link to Bank Al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood. Writing a 600-page book about September 11th and not mentioning the Muslim Brotherhood is precisely the same as writing a 600-plus-page book about World War II and not mentioning the Nazis. I mean, it's unthinkable.
The whole point of the 9/11 truth movement is there were no Arab hijackers. We did it to ourselves. They were patsies. Well, I mean, unless our newspapers, I mean, every day you read about Arabs blowing themselves up in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody says he didn't mean to do it.
Well, you know what? It is the so-called 9/11 truth movement, which is huge in the Bay Area. I mean, it's huge, and it has effectively. It's the ultimate Orwellian concept. It really is, because it's not a 9/11 truth movement. It is a 9/11 lie movement. It is a one great big stinking bleeping lie about September. It not only is factually incorrect, but most of its major tenets, such as a controlled demolition of the World Trade Center and a cruise missile hit the Pentagon, are physically impossible, not to mention verifiably false. But, you know, in terms of Rupert's own intent, though, I want to make this much. I don't think Rupert himself necessarily went out to deceive. He may have been manipulated. Who knows? Nor do I think, frankly.
Who cares? I mean, the proof is always in the pudding. Who cares? You know, a guy that died 30, 40 years ago described what's going on better than anyone I've come across.
Who's that?
Preston Sturges, famous Hollywood filmmaker from the 30s and 40s, made a movie called The Great McGinty. You may remember, may not. McGinty,
nope.
McGinty was a drunk. McGinty was a drunk. And every election in the city, they would come around and pay a buck to vote. And McGinty got this unexpected burst of ambition and voted 16 times. And the boss, the big boss, was so impressed with this that he asked McGinty to come see him. So McGinty comes to see him, and the boss says, "McGinty, you showed me something. You showed me something." McGinty said, "Next election, we're going to run you as the mayoral candidate of the Reform Party." And McGinty, he goes, "Well, that's great, but wait a minute, boss. You're not the Reform Party. You're the Establishment Party." And the boss looks at him and goes, "Hell, boy," he says, "I'm all the parties."
Well,
and
you know,
the story of the 9/11 truth movement.
I mean,
they set up the opposition. They control both sides of every issue. I wouldn't have believed it until I see it.
Oh yeah,
there it is.
Oh no, it is, and it goes even beyond some of this stuff. Very quickly, Daniel, we'll continue this on the other side. We're almost out of time here. Give us the information for your website, and soon to be featuring paperback editions of Barry and the Boys and Welcome to Terrorland. Real quick.
It's the Mad Cow Morning News at madcowprod.com. You can see the video there. You can read articles. You can, I don't know what else you can do there.
You can read a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, Daniel. A lot of stuff. And the article tying in Mr. Farkas and the Kuwaiti National Guard and a whole bunch of people.
We'll be up there next week.
We'll be up there next week. On side two, I want to talk more about the 9/11 disinformation move, but also let's tie back to Cocaine One and your theories about that being why Porter Goss suddenly resigned his position as head of the CIA. We have been visiting with Daniel Hopsicker. We will be visiting with Daniel Hopsicker again on side two. This, however, concludes side one of For the Record program number 555, interview with Daniel Hopsicker, My Way or the Skyway, being recorded on May 28th of 2006. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.